Have a Bible, but it's going to come up behind me as well, to Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. So these are the verses that are on the cards, the verse for the year. And the background starts from verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "And how do you read it?" And the teacher of the law answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then the man said, "But who is my neighbor?" And Jesus went on to tell that famous story about the Samaritan, which Helen shared with us earlier. And at the end of that story, Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." And then Luke, in his gospel, goes on to record another story. He says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Thank you. Landry, if you could bring up the first slide, please. Love God. Love neighbor. That's what this verse is all about. But the question that God asks of us is, what do you want? Do you remember when I was speaking in December, when Jesus turned around and there was two people latching onto him, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" There's no greater question that we could ask ourselves at the beginning of a new year. What do you want? You've heard of these girls, the Spice Girls. I know they had an attempt to have a reunion last year. I'm not sure if it happened. I don't think it did happen. I wasn't watching it too closely, I have to confess. But they did famously ask, "What do you want? What do you really, really want?" And sometimes we can say, "This is what I want," but we're not 100% truthful. Not because we're seeking to be deceitful, but it's just we don't always know about the deep habits that have taken hold of our lives. So we say, "I want you to be number one in my life, God. I want you to be number one, Jesus." But deep down, what we really, really, really want is something else. And so Jesus says to us, "What do you really, really want?" So the choices that we make have consequences. you've probably heard this expression, you are what you eat. And at the beginning of a new year, we're often, certainly I am, seeking to cut down on the chocolates, seeking to eat a few more fruit and vegetables. And I know that however I get on with that will probably affect how healthy I feel. But it's also the case with other things. The goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of a new year will determine how that year goes. I've just committed myself to reading 4 chapters of the Bible every day from a particular reading plan. It's quite a demanding reading plan, but I want to do that, and I'm being blessed 1 week in. That was the challenge from last week. Are you seeking God? What are you doing intentionally to seek God? What are the things that we're doing? And what we really, really want will kick in after about 2 or 3 weeks. We'll set our goal, but then what we really, really want will take over. The habits will take over. Perhaps this morning you say, well, I have all I need. I have everything that I want. I couldn't possibly want anything else. So the question doesn't really hit me this morning, Alistair, because I have all I want. I want to say in return to you, do you have Jesus? Is Jesus in the center of everything that you have? I have it all, but do you have Jesus? Because if Jesus is not in the center, you're not going to be at peace. It was famously St. Augustine that said, you have made us, this is a prayer from his confessions, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And if God is not what we want deep down, that closer relationship with God, then we will be restless. We will be restless. The psalmist helps us in this regard. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. The question, what do you want, can also be phrased, what do you worship? What do you give your heart to? What do you give your mind to? What do you give your energy and resources to? What do you give your life to? And it may on the surface be Jesus, but if you look at the detail, what are you really worshiping? What am I really worshiping? See, Bob Dylan, who recently got this prize for literature, he said, you've got to serve somebody. Everybody's got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but we've got to serve somebody. And he was making a profound theological point that how we live is about a response to who we worship. And so this lawyer comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, listening to him, perhaps was saying, what do you want? Now, on the surface, what he wants is eternal life. But if you look at what a Jewish understanding of eternal life is, you read Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and it says that some will rise to eternal life, and others will rise to eternal shame and disgrace. And so what this man's thinking of is final judgment. He's thinking that when I rise from the dead, because I believe I will rise from the dead, I will meet with God, and I don't want to go to hell. What must I do so that I don't have to go to hell? That's a very different question from what must I do to please you with all of my life? See, what must I do so that I can get forgiven so that on the judgment day, things will go well for me? Or what can I do to live my life in response to your amazing love for me because you came and you died for me? You see the difference? You see the difference? And I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you, at the beginning of 2007, are you setting a minimum or are you setting a maximum? Are you saying, I just want to get by, I want to be able to endure and get by as a Christian, and I want to, or I want to live my life to the full? How much are we trusting God with? You see, this man said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus later on defined what eternal life is. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, now this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So to ask for eternal life is to ask for a close friendship with God and a close friendship with Jesus. And the closer, the better. It's not just about escaping judgment. It's about pleasing God. As my old Sunday school teacher would have said, to make God your chief aim, to glorify him with the whole of your life, and to really enjoy the journey. Are you enjoying God? If you set the right goal, you can enjoy him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. This heart shape that you were given at the beginning of the service, it doesn't mean the tick, tick, boom that we were singing about. I mean, you, kids may have seen this film Inside Out, where it shows the inner workings of the brain. Did any of the kids see that one? Inside Out? We watched it here at the at our Christmas community film show just about a year ago. But this kind of misses the point because it's not about all the different compartments. It's about the whole person. It's about the whole person. It's not about our tick, tick, boom. It's not about our soul. It's not about our mind. It's not about our muscles. It's about the whole person. So with the whole of our person, in the whole of our life, do we follow Jesus? Sometimes we can give a divided loyalty. Some people support two football teams. Which football team do you look for the result first? But with God, we should really only be supporting God's team because God is Lord of all of life. This heart, how do we know what's going on in our hearts? We could get a stethoscope, we could listen in. But how we really know what's going on with our hearts is if we just understand these deeper motives. What do we treasure the most? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. If you have children, there's nothing you treasure more than your own children. Perhaps you would even die for them. If you saw someone hurting them, you would step in and you would protect them. Or your parents. Maybe some of us are caring for elderly parents. There's nothing we treasure more than caring for our parents. We would do anything for them. But what Jesus said was, unless you love me more than your mother and father, unless you love me more than your children, you're not worthy of me. Jesus says, I know how much you treasure your family, and I want to be more important to you than even that. So we love God with everything we've got. Our strength is our resources, our money, the money God's given us to us. And then the man looking for a loophole, he asked, how would you define neighbor? You see, he's not looking to really please God. He's looking to get by. He wants the benefits of relationship with God, but he's not prepared to pay the cost. And I want to ask you, and I want to ask myself, are we prepared to pay the cost of a full devotion to Jesus? Or do we just want to get by? Because whatever goals we set will define what we become. What do we want to be? The more important question is, what does God want us to be? You see, this chapter's really important. Martin Luther, it's 500 years since he nailed a protest to a church door in Wittenberg, Germany, 1517. And Martin Luther was the most conscientious Christian you could ever meet. He was so anxious about his own relationship with God that he would have physical reactions. If he was in our church, we'd probably think that he was a bit intense. And he used to get, the more he thought about God, the more he thought about God's holiness, the more depressed he became, because he understood the gap between him and God. And I want to say, at the beginning of a new year, if you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, don't start out like Martin Luther and get all intense. Look to Jesus, because what Martin Luther did was he opened his Bible at Romans chapter 5, and he said it changed his life. He said it was a born-again experience. He'd been really strenuously trying to live a good life, trying to live a good life for God. But then he realized that he could only love if he understood and received that love from God. That he loved because God loved him first. That God sent his son to die for him. God sent his son to pay for his sins. God sent his son to reconcile him. God sent his son to give him peace. And it was not based on his effort, but was based on gift. And he learned to receive love from God every day. He learned to love God in return because of God's great love for him. You see, Martin Luther talked about the difference between the law and the gospel. See, the lawyer says, what must I do? And Martin Luther says, believe on Jesus Christ. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his reconciliation. He will reconcile you to God. He will set you free from your misplaced dependencies. He alone can deal with your deepest habits and longings. And he can give you new desires. One thing I desire, O God, is you. This is my desire, to honor you. This is my desire, God. And I know that only by God filling me with his love, filling me with his spirit, filling me with the spirit. You see, how can we grow in love for God? How can we grow in love for others? I'm sure that 99% of us here this morning Maybe 100% of us really want to love God more this year, don't we? And we really want to love others more. We receive the challenge of these verses and say, yeah, that's what I want to be. But how can we do it? We need to have a fresh vision of Christ crucified, who gave up everything for us. Although he was rich, he became poor for our sakes in order that we can become rich. We need to love God with our whole heart, with our whole person, with our whole life. We need to love others with no exceptions, especially the people we don't get on with. And the only way we can do that is by loving Jesus. He is our example. Go home this afternoon and meditate on how Jesus loved God in his life, how he loved him, how he loved the Father. Meditate on it, study it. Look at how Jesus loved others. He is our profound example and best example. But he's also our source. He is our source. He is the one through whom we receive this love. He's the one through whom we receive this love. So we need to be rooted. We need to be rooted in him. We need to have ourselves planted in the right soil this year. And that begins with our personal devotional life. Isabel had some notes that she was offering. I can guide you. Others can guide you. If you want help, come on the Alpha course. Join a small group. You see, we cannot do it on our own. And we're never meant to do it on our own. So what does God want for us? I believe that this is what God wants for us, to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what God wants. And there's no greater goal for us in 2007. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the one who is our example. We honor him today for the great cost that he bore for us, not only in leaving heaven, but in going to the cross for us. And help us to take up our cross and to follow him. Help us not to get distracted in this coming year. Yes, the distractions will come, Lord, but help us to resist them and give us the strength to overcome the habits which pull us away from a full devotion to you. Thank you, Lord, that this life that you call us to is not a life that we have to live on our own. And we pray that we would be able to support one another in this loving Christian family to walk in the ways of Jesus in this coming year. And we ask all this in his name. Amen. We're going to close our service now.